Let us pray. God, for us, we call you Father. God, alongside us, we call you Jesus. God, within us, we call you Holy Spirit. We thank you. We humble ourselves before you, and we ask that you would take this time, and you would help our hearts, help our spirits to just be so open to what you have for us. Help us to be transparent before you. Some of us in this room have some incredibly difficult times that we've been going through. Maybe it's not just been one day or even a couple days or a few weeks even, but maybe it's been a season. And we need a fresh wind from you. We pray, Lord, in your generosity and in your mercy, would you just bless us, not just for ourselves, even though you love us that much to do that, but that you would bless us so that we may be a blessing to others. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts here at All Villages. What you've done in the past, what you're going to do in the future, we give you praise, we give you thanks. Whatever we're facing or whatever loved ones of ours are facing, may you hear our prayers. May you do a mighty work. And dear, I pray, may we be different because of you. I pray this in your name. Amen. I had not planned on talking and sharing this week on this text. I had a different text that I pushed to next week, so if you want to hear it, you got to come next week. But we're going to be reading Psalm 27. It's in your bulletin, right, and everything like that, but I had originally planned to talk about relationships and what surrender looks like in relationships and the goodness of that, and I'm going to continue, but last week I was at a presbytery meeting. We are part of a denomination. And denominations aren't that, forgive me for using the word, but I just don't know a better word for it. They're not sexy. They're kind of, you just kind of think about them, and you go like, okay, I guess we have to do that. It's kind of like, you know, we're incorporated kind of thing. They're not that big of a deal. But there's a movement that God, I believe, started in the hearts and lives of people several years ago and officially was formed in 2012, known as ECO. Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians. No, again, sexy, right? I know, it's really special, really catchy. But in all seriousness, there are people, men and women, who feel called by God to become a flourishing movement. That'd be a churches, universal, that are so passionate about Jesus, so passionate about loving others, so passionate about helping others come to know him, that they form together. And one of the things that we do is we get together and we pray for each other. We get together and we encourage each other. We get together and we challenge each other. There's so much about relationships in this. It's not a top-down kind of experience or relationship. It is a true mutual and encouragement of one another. And one of the things that they had us do last week, they had to lead a chapel service on a text, and it was something that just really touched me, and I hope it touches you. I just think that the Lord wants to do something special in our lives, and it was just confirmed. I just want to let you know, we're not that good. It was confirmed time and time again. This is a word I think that the Lord really wants you to hear. And if you don't see how it connects with you now, I promise you he will use it. It might be for your family member, might be for a neighbor, might be for a coworker, it might be next week for you. But just trust the Lord if you can in this one. Let's jump into the text, and I hope it connects with you. Psalm 27. And again, it started a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, oh, that's a good psalm. I haven't really spent a lot of time in that one, but let us dig in together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, yeah, that's promising. It is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. And at the end, he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This idea of waiting, wait on the Lord. I don't know about you. Some of you are amazingly patient. I am not the most patient person. I really don't like streetlights. I know they're good. I know they're important. But I don't like when I'm stuck and stopped and waiting and going, okay, no one has gone, and yet we're all stopped, you know. I'm glad there's some of you out there like me. Wait on the Lord. That is something that is so important for us to understand as followers of the Lord and what that looks like and even how to do it. Because there are times in our lives that sometimes the Lord just puts us in a situation and there's not much waiting and we're like, whoa, wait, Lord, wait. He's like, no, that's not what it's not what it said. It says, wait on me, wait on the Lord. And you just want to kind of just go with it. But again, how do you do it? How do you wait on the Lord when a spouse has given up? How do you wait on the Lord when the diagnosis is so dark and grim? How do you wait on the Lord when you just don't know what tomorrow's going to bring? You don't know how or where or if there's even a way through this season. Think about the challenges relationally, professionally, where you work. There are times and seasons where, man, you might love where you are serving and where God has you. And those are great seasons. Enjoy those. You may find yourself, Lord, I count the seconds. Would you please intervene? Would you please do something? And then we come across a text like this, and it says, wait on the Lord. Challenges our faith. It's supposed to challenge our faith. It's supposed to ask us, to get us to ask, I should say, of ourselves, where is my hope? One of the great paradoxes of Christianity is the calling, the command to surrender. And in the surrender, we actually win. That when we let go, God says, good, I can see you trust me now. Let's move forward. That doesn't mean that life's going to be all perfect. Doesn't mean it's all going to work out just the way we hope. But he's with us every step of the way, and he wants to help walk with us through the journey. He doesn't just dangle a carrot. He doesn't just try to point and, hey, I hope to see you over there, and good luck. He walks with us every step of the way. But how do you do this? Some of you might know this as kind of like a church answer. You know, it's either Jesus or maybe prayer or Bible. And those are going to be some of those answers today. But there's a reason they're church answers, because sometimes, you know what? They're the best answer. Prayer. Praying to the Lord, seeking him, calling out to him, and asking and saying, Lord, what are you doing here? Where do I go here? How do I move forward? How do I not quit? I had a Great conversation this week. Broke my heart, but it was a great conversation in the life of this person. His wife has pretty much just said, I'm done. I quit. Been going on for several months, really several years. But here I am meeting with him. And he goes, everyone tells me I'm supposed to quit. Like there's like, duh, why are you still here? And he says to me, I made a covenant with her and the Lord. But I feel like a fool. I feel like everything the world's saying, just quit. And I said, well, why don't you? And he goes, when we first got together, we actually started off in a real broken place. And my prayer to him was, Lord, if you let us be a family, if you will bring us back together, I promise I'll never quit. Hearing that, I was overjoyed and yet heartbroken in the same second. And I said, brother, I don't care who else tells you to quit, don't quit. If you're still feeling the Lord has not released you and you need to obey him first and foremost. You can't control what the other person does. But you don't want to go a week, 6 months, 6 years, 10 years, looking at your kids and said, you know, I could have done more. I don't know where you find yourself in this. I don't know if you've been divorced or you've struggled. This doesn't make you feel bad or guilty in any way. But in this man's life, telling him you need to wait on the Lord was like asking him to carry the world. And yet I told him it's not for you to carry. That's the good news. Sometimes we think we have to carry it all on our own. And it's not that way. It's an amazing Psalm 23. And it's all about really learning to trust the Lord, to dwell in his house forever as well, to know that he will walk with you. You don't have to do it on your own. But it starts with humbling yourself in prayer and saying, Lord, I don't have the strength. I don't know if I have enough faith to take the next step. But would you help me to wait on you? And tears running down his face. I just told him, I said, now, I want you to understand something. He loves you so very much. I know you don't feel it right now. He's not expressing himself the way you want him to. And it's okay to not be happy about that. It's okay. But know this. God is strong enough to walk with you through this. Don't miss it. I told him he needed community. He needed a group of believers, a group that would pray for him. Maybe you have that already. Maybe you're part of a small group Bible study that you know if you needed something, you could give them a call. You could send them a text. You could knock on their door, and they would be, what's going on? We need that. You need that. I need that. We're not meant to be in this life alone. Now, for those introverts out there, I know you don't like to be alone either. You might just like one person, and that's fine. But you still need that one person. We need one another. And I pray that you'll see this text is not about doing it alone. At no point is it wait for me by yourself, but wait on the Lord. And in community, we're stronger. Why is it that there can be the best player on a team and he still loses? Because a team, a great team, is always better than the best player. Always. We need one another. So what season you find yourself in, what difficulty you're struggling with, or friends or family that you know that are really struggling, you need to invite them. You need some encouragement. You need some support. You need some good friends. You don't have to do this journey alone. Now, let's get practical. If you wait till when you have time, it's too late. It's got to be something you cut out time and make it a priority. Wait on the Lord. One of the things that I think sometimes we struggle with is what faith really is. I told him, you got to keep the faith. But I didn't just leave it there. It seems too, for me, that's too muddy. Like, okay, sounds good. What does that mean? Faith is about trusting in the one who's sovereign, the one who is good, who isn't finished. And if you're in a season where you have been doing it on your own, fighting on your own, struggling on your own, I want to give you the good news. Wait on the Lord. Take heart and wait on the Lord. Take courage and know that he isn't done. And that in this stretching, he's wanting you to learn to trust him. He's wanting you to learn that he is big enough to handle whatever you're going to face. You might think, oh, man, everything I faced before was so much easier than where I'm at now. All those things were there to prepare you for this now, so God could do the work he needed to do. So where do you need to wait? What is the Lord wanting you to consider? So I'm at this presbytery meeting, and we're sitting in this beautiful chapel, and pastor, God is so good. He's so wise. The pastor who's leading the devotional, we go back several years, actually 2011. We both were up for the same position at a church down in West Palm. Went from 100 candidates down to us two. And I was told, I got it. I was like, wow, you already heard? That's fantastic. We meet tonight. It'll be official, but you got it. You know how that goes. You know the rest of the story already. I still believe this. I believed it then. It was tested, but I believed it. That no matter whether they said yes or no, whether I was invited there to serve or not, praise the Lord, because I know that he has a plan. And if God wanted him there, then who am I to tell him he's wrong? But if I was there, I wouldn't be here. Here he is sitting before me, and he invites us to just close our eyes and be still before the Lord, to breathe in fresh and invite God to just help us be more aware of his presence. And as just had this thought, like, Lord, thank you for calling him to Memorial Press. Thank you for where he is. I pray for him. And then I just started to listen to the words that he read. I'm going to read to you a few of the words. It comes from a very interesting time in the life of Israel in 2 Kings chapter 6. There's this army that is just hounding Israel. And every time they get an advantage, every time we got them, they're done. There's this prophet named Elisha who comes up and tells the king of Israel, hey, God has told me we should go this, you know, make a right instead of a left, you know. And he does, and he listens. And every time the people of Israel are saved. And this king is upset, ticked, and there could be stronger verbiage here. He is wanting to stop this Elisha at any cost, which is funny because he's like, listen, I want you to go find him. Go get him. Let's track him down. Like, he couldn't see that, right? Like, again, like God couldn't tell him that. Anyways, but he's on it. Elisha, like any good follower of the Lord, is discipling up others. And they find out where he is. They surround the city. And this attendant, this servant, goes, and you'll see here, this kind of gets you to this point. When the servant of the man of God, of Elisha, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It's so important that we remember that God is at work in so many ways. He is raising up people. He is drawing more people to him to pray for you if you're struggling. People sometimes you don't even know. People that you're driving and you're at that red light wondering why it's not changing, and you're waiting for someone to somehow go, and the Lord just puts someone on your heart. Guess what? Pray for them. Maybe there's something in your own season where you're overwhelmed and you really don't know what the Lord is doing, and kind of like, are you up there? Are you paying attention? Call out to him and ask him to help you see. It's when we're surrounded that we need God to move the most. It's when we think that we've been forgotten that we need to have our eyes opened. It's when we feel that there's just no more hope. There's no way forward. That's the most important time for us to wait on the Lord. I don't know where this finds you. I don't know the struggles you're facing. You might just be like, I feel for whoever he's talking about. I feel very blessed. Praise the Lord. Don't feel bad. That's great. But know this. There's someone who needs to hear that encouraging word too. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, you are so good. And even though sometimes in the circumstances we don't know what you're doing or how you're doing it, or if just maybe you just became a little unaware, we ask that you would give us your peace, your presence, that in this season we would truly know and be encouraged in waiting on you. Help us, Lord. Give us the faith we need. Help us to have eyes open to see that you are faithful. Help us to know that you invite us to let go of all that we feel are, that we're over, that we're responsible for, to let you work on our behalf. Help us to be more aware of your presence in our lives. Help us to partner with what you're doing in our lives and in the lives of those you've called us to serve on those frontline ministries. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you for ECO, and we pray that you'd continue that movement. We know it's just a small expression of what you're doing in churches and denominations all around the world. We pray, Lord, that you would just continue your amazing work. Help us to be like clay in your hands, moldable and shapeable, open. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray for our government. We pray for our country. We pray, Lord, for your favor. We pray, Lord, that as you have blessed us in incredible ways, that we may be eager in sharing that blessing with others. We pray especially for our leaders. We pray that you would give them wisdom beyond their years. We pray for humility upon them. May they serve your purposes. We pray for Palm City Presbyterian and Indian River and the Grove. And again, our brothers and sisters in our community all over. Raise us up, Lord, to be light and love. Thank you for not just winding up a clock and just letting it go, but you walk with us every step of the way. And Jesus, as you taught your disciples to pray, may we continue to pray this prayer. May it be in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that we would understand that the prayer you want us to lift up isn't about the specific words, but about what has your heart, the Father's heart. And so do your work as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.